Well, praise the Lord. Welcome to Cross Time with Pastor Curtis. I'm Pastor Curtis Hutchinson here in the studio at Crossway Church. Glad to be gathered around God's Word with you today. And I know that He's going to show us some great truths in the book of Colossians. That's where we are in chapter 2. This is going to be part 4 of the second chapter. So go ahead and grab your Bibles and get ready to follow along with us today. Just a few things before we get started to let you know where you can find us online. We have a website, thecrosswaychurch.com. We also have a YouTube channel, Curtis Hutchinson 316. And we have a channel on the Podbean app. It's for those who have ears to hear. And I have 3 Facebook pages. There are Crossway Church, Queen City, Texas, Pastor Curtis, and Curtis Hutchinson. Every morning, pretty early, I'd say somewhere between 7 and 8 or somewhere in there, close to that, I post 1 verse a day on one of those. And right now we're in Psalm 73. And the other one, I'm now posting 1 verse a day from 1 Corinthians. And so 1 Corinthians chapter 7 is where we are every morning. Sometimes we do so much we can't really keep up with where we are. But you can see that always the scriptures are always going to be in the light of the one who is the light. And the Bible says that's Jesus as the Lamb of God. And that's the way God intended it. And that's the way it's got to be. That if we're going to have any kind of eyes to see any vision, it's got to be the vision of the Lord that He gave us upon being born again. And that was upon believing that one object of faith that He's given us, and that's His Son and what He did at Calvary. And I'm able to know that today. So we're just excited about all the avenues that God has given us to publish His Word, the Word of the Cross. And we're just living in a time right here at the very end of this age when Jesus is just about to come and get His bride. Where, let me say this today, I've said it before, everything is intensifying. Everything. The evil that's in the world, the deception that's in the church, but also something else on the positive side that is intensifying is God is raising up a people who are becoming more determined to know absolutely nothing other than Jesus Christ and Him crucified, that which God is ever mindful of and that which He's commanded us to always be mindful of, that place He's always delivering us to, which is the death of Jesus. That is those of us who are alive in Christ Jesus. Hallelujah. So it's a great treasure that many things will come along and try to come in. And anything that comes in that's not in the context of the cross of Christ is the attempt to extinguish the flames of Calvary that burn in our heart. And many times we'll start walking in confusion, and we'll get confused, and we won't understand why, and the things will start dwindling. It's never multiple reasons. It's always only one reason, and that's, we might say, well, I just don't understand this and that and them and all of whatever. But if the fire is dimming down, and it is, if others aren't hearing it or seeing it through you, then, my friend, it's because we are moving in the wrong direction. Even though we could be still saying some of the right things, we're moving in a wrong direction. Because when we're going in the right direction, our light is going to be shining before men. And that's not just us being nice and polite and good. That's us having the testimony of the blood of Jesus and bringing the light into everything that darkness is trying to hinder. So we need to remember those things. So here we are in Colossians chapter 2. This is part 4 again. So let's get ready to dig in today. We're going to look at verse 4 and verse 8 together as we begin, because there's two of the same things, really one thing being said here, said twice. And it's very important that we look at this today, and because, as I said, everything is intensified. Everything. The shaking of the earth and the heavens, because God is speaking from heaven through the blood of His Son. Hebrews chapter 12, verses 24 and 25. What's going on over in Israel, Iran, all that, everything is intensifying, and it is not going to settle down except when it is a great deception of settling down. Soon, when the Antichrist shows up after the church is gone to sign that seven-year peace treaty, or that happens and then we leave, but we're leaving right then, my friend, before or right when that happens, sometime before the chaos really, really begins, and what's called the Battle of Armageddon, the Great Tribulation, will be gone by then. Don't listen to those that say we won't. They don't know their Bibles. So we are watching everything now intensify because it's moving along in that direction. What direction? The close out of this age, my friends. And everything that you read in the New Testament about what would be happening among the church folk is intensifying. Departing from the faith while still sitting on the pew, no longer adhering to sound doctrine while adhering to fables and just anything. We saw this morning people were sending me videos about a men's conference in a church, and they had a poll on the platform, and a man came out in a men's conference now, and a man came out to the poll, ripped his shirt off, and began to do on the poll, swing and dance on the poll. And these things are seen typically in nightclubs by women who are naked dancing, pole dancing, and to seduce men, to spoil men. And I'm telling you these things because of what we're about to read in the Word. And it's all so deceptive. And they sat there and watched this, and I wasn't there, but what I saw in the video is they just sat there and took it in until a preacher came out and brought what he called an observation, not a rebuke, but it really was a rebuke from the Lord. And then the people started going into a chaotic state, some of them for, some of them against. And this should never even be allowed in the church. The reason it is because the door has been opened. And it's always by the pastors. The pastors are the ones who open the door. The pastors of the church allow to come in what comes in. And my friends, our battle, the Bible says in Ephesians 6 and 12, is not against flesh and blood, but it comes through flesh and blood. We'll see that today in the Bible. Hallelujah. So let's begin there. All this stuff going on, and everything is intensifying. The church's apostasy is intensifying, thinking they're okay, nothing's wrong with them. It's something wrong with you folks who all you want to do is talk about the cross of Christ. Before we dig in this morning, let's remember one very crucial and important thing that I pray would help us to see the reality of what's going on in the church even today. As we look back in the Old Covenant, And through the words of Jesus that said the scriptures testify of him. But then he also said that Israel killed the prophets. Now I want you to put those two things together. Israel killed the prophets that Jesus said were testifying of him. And I've known it for a long time. But when we preach the Jesus of the Bible, meaning that we have to be pointing to the crucifixion, burial, and resurrection of Christ, mainly the cross, because it's not the burial and it's not the resurrection that our God is always delivering us unto that are alive. 2 Corinthians 4:11, it's the death of Jesus. That's where he's delivering us for our journey now, is to the death of Jesus. So to preach the right Jesus, you've got to preach Christ and him crucified. And my friend, that is a problem for today's church. They don't want to hear about that. I've known it for a long time. The church really doesn't want to hear about the Jesus of the Bible. They want to hear maybe the stories of what he did when he walked here on his flesh, hoping he somehow might do that for them too. And he's faithful to bless us and to help us along the way and to save, heal, deliver, fill us, and everything else we need. But if we never make it to the cross, then we have not from the stories what we need. Let me say that again. If the stories do not make their way to Calvary, then the stories cannot provide us what we need. And you need to understand that. You desperately need to understand that. If whatever's being ministered from the Word of God does not culminate or end up at Calvary, then you will not have, by the Holy Spirit, what you need after that Bible study, that worship service, whatever it is. You will have been spoiled by men. Let's read this, verses 4, and then let's look at verse 8. Verse 4 says, "And this I say, lest any man should beguile you with enticing." And we talked about this the last session. That word enticing means persuasive words. Let's read it again. "And this I say, lest any man," get that now, "lest any man should beguile you," deceive is what that means, "with enticing, persuasive words." You see, words that deceive are very persuasive. They persuade us that these men are right. They know what they're talking about. This is why we have to be grounded in the truth of God's Word. The truth is Jesus Christ. The Word is God, is Jesus Christ. But what makes God's Word applicable to us at any moment in our lives is our heart touching Calvary. Not because we were born again at some point, but our heart yielded to, serving, trusting in that very work that Christ performed, perfected, and completed on the cross in His death. And if that's not what we're hearing, no matter what else we're hearing in the Word, then we are being beguiled and we are being persuaded. See, the people should have stood on their feet and gave an uproar in that church of full of men at a men's conference when a man walked out to a pole and took his shirt off. There was no need to wait for another preacher to come for a rebuke for what he called an observation, my friends. That should have came from the men there in the conference. But thank God it did come. And that's the importance of God sending men to bring the rebuke that is needed, because sometimes we'll just sit there like a frog in a boiling, slowly warming and warming and warming pot of boiling water, being desensitized, having our senses decreased instead of our senses increased in the Word of righteousness. We'll sit there with our senses being decreased by beguiling, deceiving, and persuasive words. Now let's look at verse 8 again. And we'll go back and look at what's in the middle of this, because this is all so important. And right now, because this, all of this is intensifying, you will either become determined to know absolutely nothing but Christ and Him crucified, or you will call yourself with all sorts of excuses out of the mouth, justifying all the reasons you're not determined to know nothing, and justifying why we give ear to anything that's not Christ and Him crucified. We will find ourselves being desensitized, our senses being decreased instead of our senses being exercised and increased by the Word of righteousness. Hallelujah. And we'll get deeper into that phrase here in just a few minutes. I do hope you have your pencils and your markers and your paper and your Bibles today. But verse 8 also says, beware. That means be on guard, be on the lookout, my friend. Oh, that's a bad thing today in the church. Oh, they're just looking for. The Bible tells us to beware. Beware. Lest any, here it comes again, any man spoil you. And the word spoil means, let's look at it, plunder you or take you captive. And let's just use that most recent event that's going around on social media. That is an extreme, but it's not like the church is not full of it. And although it's an extreme, there are other more deceitful and deceptive things going on in the church where the right things are talked about over here, but then the door is open over here to the not the right things talked about. And it's just being stirred up. And if you say anything about that which comes in that's not in agreement with what's being ministered that is right, then you're the problem. But even by bringing it up, and see that is intensifying. But we must stand and finish our course and continue to fight the good fight of faith, running this victorious race that the Lord has set before us. Hallelujah. So watch this now. Beware lest any man plunder you and ensnare you. This is what men do. Now most men who do this do not know they are. The Bible says in the last days, men will be deceiving and being deceived and deceiving. If I am deceived, all I can do is deceive. I want you to hear that again. If I am deceived, all I can do is deceive. And the only, one and only thing that removes any deception is my heart yielded to that which removes the blindness and the deception, the deceitfulness that self produces. It's always selfishness. It's always what our flesh is after. It takes the cross to open our eyes. It takes the cross to remove anything that's there. That's it, nothing else. And every once in a while we have to talk about this. If I'm deceived, and deception means that I don't know, but I don't know that I don't know, then how can I ever escape that? If I don't know that I don't know, but I think I do. I think this is right, but it's not right, but I think it is. How can I ever escape that? Only through the cross of Christ. There will be no removal of deception outside of my heart yielded to the death of Jesus. How do I know that? Because that's where our God always delivers us for Jesus' sake, so that His life can be manifest through us, not what happens, not what's manifest while we're being spoiled and ensnared by men. Get that? Listen, the word spoil here again means to be plundered, if I can bring it up. To plunder, that means to rob, stealing from me what could be mine and taking me captive. Now, I already know what that's like. I already know what that's like. I've already been out there. It's been done to me. I already know what it's like. I was a part of the doing of that. Because let me tell you something, preacher friends, if we're not pointing to Calvary using God's word, whether we realize it or not, it don't matter if you realize it or not. I hope you would begin to realize it. But if we're using God's word to point to anything other than the living word and what He did as the Lamb of God, we're plundering and spoiling the people and ensnaring them. That's just the way it is according to God's word. Now back to what Jesus said, the scriptures testify of Him, but yet they killed the prophets who wrote that which testified of Him. Where are we today? Where are we today? Will we stand in the liberty? Will we stand with those who are functioning as Paul did? And or, see, in Paul's day, there were few with Paul. In this day, when this curtain is about to close on this age. There be few here today all over the world, but there be few that would be found walking with Paul today, who remain in sound doctrine, who refuse to depart from the faith. Amen. And we'll talk about that more here in just a few minutes. But there's always going to be a few that have spirit-taught hearts, ears that can hear what the Spirit is saying to the church. And I point to these, but it's really not these. It's the heart of man. So we need to remember this. So watch this. Beware lest any man spoil you through philosophy and vain deceit. That means empty, that which is empty. And again, if it's not the Word of God pointing you to the place where you became complete, where you once having been empty, dead in your sins, you now became full and complete in Christ Jesus. And if the Word of God is not being used as the light that it is to shine to the light that Jesus is, that the Bible says in Revelation 21 and 23, the Lamb is, then we're going to remain empty in our experience. We're going to remain empty in our experience. And it's because we're falling prey to philosophy and this vain, empty deceit. You know what deceit means? I like to pull it up while you're with me. Deceit means delusion. That means you can be looking at something and think it's right and it be wrong. Jesus taught, if you're calling that within you light and it's really darkness, how great is that darkness? And he taught that in Matthew 6 in the context of trying to serve two masters. You can't do it. You'll either get determined to follow Christ by way of the cross, and the world and all the other religious stuff and all the mixture and everything else will be the hindrance instead of you. And the only other option is to follow and be after everything else other than Christ and Him crucified, and that become a hindrance. The message of the cross become a hindrance to what you're trying to do. Get that? And Jesus said you can't serve both. One of them you will love, the other you'll hate. One you'll cling to and the other you'll despise, because whatever you're holding on to, the other you're despising because it's trying to hinder what you're clinging to. And I'm afraid, my friends, that most Christians today are claiming Jesus, and they know they should be clinging to Jesus in some way in their own minds. They think they are, but Jesus and His way of the cross is, it's hindering what they really want in this world, from this world, to be in this world. And you got to be very careful about that, because you can't have both. You can't eat off both tables at the same time. You got to love one and hate the other, and you got to cling to one, and you always going to despise the other. That's what our Lord taught us. So you got to be careful. So the word deceit here, deceit, means there's a delusion. This sounds right. This feels right. This looks right, but it ain't right. You know what God sees is right? The Word of God. The Word of the Lord. Psalms 33 and 4. Write it down. Shout the high praises of God. Psalms chapter 33, verse 4. For the Word of the Lord is right, and all His works are done in truth. That's what's right in the eyes of the Lord, is His Word. Anything outside of obedience to His Word is a deceitful deception. It's a delusion that guides our feet into deception. Remember, deceit is something that looks right, smells right, feels right, but it ain't right. And the only way that you can know something is right is if it's seen in the light of the one who is the living Word of God and what He did on the cross to be able to impart to you the Word of God for our walk of experience with Him in the light He walks in. Hallelujah. So watch this now. Beware lest any man spoil you through philosophy and vain deceit, after the tradition of men, after the rudiments of the world, and not after Christ. And not after Christ. Now, if we're listening to somebody who's not preaching the cross, then we're listening to something that's deceitful, even though they're using God's word. Because God's word, outside the revelation of Jesus, means that our eyes are being blocked. 2 Corinthians chapter 3. Now, you need to read that. The veil is over the heart of those who aren't seeing and accepting Christ in the word. Jesus said the scriptures testify of him. That's all the scriptures. That's all the scriptures. Even if it's the New Testament direction and instruction for the church is the body of who? Jesus. The Bible is about Jesus. Your Bible is your Jesus book. It is the Word of God who is God, who became flesh, that's Jesus, and dwelt among us. Hallelujah. When you get away from Jesus being revealed, meaning who he is and what he did at Calvary, and the provision that comes exclusively through that, then we have been responsible for putting a veil over our eyes. Now, Peter wrote that in 2 Peter chapter, what is it, 1? Let's go look. 2 Peter, we got to see it. 2 Peter chapter 1, is it verse 9 or 10? But he that lacks these things, 2 Peter 1 and 9, write it down. But he that lacks these things is blind and cannot see afar off and has forgotten that he was purged from his old sins. Get this now. He's forgotten, and this word forgotten is not like, well, I don't know what you're talking about. I was born again. I was saved. I don't remember anything about that. No, no, no. He's forgotten. He moved away from, moved on without. Now we got to get focused on eschatology. And ain't nothing wrong with studying eschatology, but it's the revelation of Christ. Not just what's going to happen, but it is the revelation of Christ. So, anything you want to name in the Word, it's got to be revealing Christ, because he is the living Word. Now, the church has gotten so far away from this, most Christians would get mad when they hear this. And I know what I'm talking about because I've been there. And I'm thankful that God saw me in a miserable state and me wanting to know the truth, wanting to really understand how it is that can I please you outside of being worried about what men think and all these rules, regulations, and denominationalism and Pentecostalism and all these things that men have brought in. How can I just serve you and be found pleasing unto you according to your word without the thought of everyone else? And I found myself in that place in 2004 and 2003 and crying out to the Lord, saying, I'm not sure of anything anymore. All the things that I've been taught, all the things that I've taught to all these past few years, I'm not sure about any of that. And what I was trying to say in a nice way, I don't believe much of any of it. That's what I meant by I'm not sure about any of that. But what I told him, I am sure of only one, just one thing. And that's that you love me and that I love you. And at that moment, in the days that followed that, immediate days, the Lord brought to my attention the focus of the cross of Christ. The way of my victory. The only way of pleasing him. When he finds me there in that place, he always delivers me because I'm now alive in Christ Jesus. 2 Corinthians 4, 11 and 12. So that he can work that death in me so that I can express. The only expression he's looking for is the expression of the life of his Son. It's no longer I that live, but now Christ lives in me. Now the life I live by the faith of the Son of God who loved me and gave himself for me. And I begin to learn the Word of God all over again in its true righteous context. And then, and only then, did my senses stop being desensitized and moved away by every wind of doctrine that came through town. Only then did that desensitization stop. And then and only then did my senses begin to be exercised according to that word of righteousness. Hallelujah. And we need to remember that. We're going to talk about that in just a few minutes. So this says that we can go blind. And it's due to forgetting we were purged from our old sins. Moving on without the context of Calvary going with us. Moving on where our feet are no longer walking in the way of Christ's steps, which is the way of righteousness that went before him, Psalms 85:13. No more having the cross in my vision. No more wanting to hear about the cross, although that's the only place God is delivering his people to. Always. No more. We're moving on now. That's behind us. Now it's up to us now. That's the thought in the church today. And that's what brings the veil over our eyes and makes us blind. But look at verse 10 while we're here in 2 Peter chapter 1. Wherefore the rather, instead of going blind, so these things mentioned before verse 9 will be at work in you and abounding. Rather, brother, give diligence to make your calling and election sure. What's your calling and election? Not talking about you being a pastor of a church. That may be your specific calling, but we all got the same calling to God through the blood of Jesus. That's the gospel called us, the gospel saved us, and we were set apart unto the gospel, and woe unto us if we don't preach the gospel. But listen, watch this now. Give diligence to make your calling and election. Where were we elected? By God's grace, through the grace that Jesus tasted death by on the cross, Hebrews 2:9. And if you do these things, you shall never fall. It means you shall never stumble. It means that when you hear words of deceit, words of philosophy, that you will say, I got to get out of here. I got to move on. God, show me a place where deceit and philosophy is not at all being mixed in with the truth of your Son, Christ, and Him crucified. God is raising up men and women and boys and girls in this very hour. God is raising up churches right now. No, they don't look like anything from the past. No. They don't know that they're not full of men who have degrees and they've attained certain levels among men. These are men and women, boys and girls, involved in these local churches who just sold out and got all in on the truth of Christ and Him crucified, and are not going to not only not tolerate anything else, but are going to be found warning, just like we read about here in Colossians that Paul is doing. And I know people say, well, he's doing it in a loving way, and you're not. Well, what is a loving way? Do I have to lay down before you to bring the warning? My friend, we're either going to heed the warning or we're not, no matter who it comes from. And that's a problem in the church today. We just don't like the person bringing the warning, and that's going to cause us death. I don't like the way they warned us. Well, that's going to cause us death. And I'm going to tell you right now, the humble will hear the warning and be glad. Hallelujah. God found me in a deceitful, deceived mess and wanted me and loved me enough and found my desiring, desperate heart to call unto me and bring me out of this staggering and stumbling place just all the time. And he brought me back to the focus of my calling and election, where that I won't ever fall. The word there means stumble. Hallelujah. In 2 Peter 1:9-10. Shout the high praises of God when you read that. Glory be to God. So watch this now. Let's go back and read in the between these two warnings of men that are out there today. We used to say on every corner there's a man who's bringing deception to the table, but now there's 10 on every corner or more. So watch what's written in between these verses. Let's start now in verse 5. For though I be absent in the flesh, yet I am with you in the spirit, joying and beholding your order. And that means your order in which you stand. Let's look at it. That means your good order. That means your order. Let's look at it. It means your arrangement. Your arrangement. Now, people want to say, this is our time. Yes, it is. It's our time to express Christ. It's our time. It's not our time for fleshly things. It's our time as the church to express Christ greater than ever before. So Paul here says to this church and to you and to me, he says, though I be absent in the flesh, I'm not there physically with you, yet I am with you in the spirit, joying and beholding your order and the steadfastness of your faith in Christ. That means in his death. In Christ means in his death. If you try to make that mean anything else, you're going to be in big trouble, because you're going to be receiving the words of someone, whoever it is, that's telling you it means something else. They're defrauding words. They're depriving words. They're words of deceit and philosophy that will steer you away from Calvary. You better know that. In Christ means in his death, because that's where you are in Christ. You are dead. You want to go read it. Look at the next chapter, verse 3 in Colossians 3. You are dead and your life is hid with Christ in God. Where's the hiding place? In you being crucified with Christ. Not having been. Paul didn't say, I was crucified with Christ. He said, I am crucified with Christ. Listen. This is why God, our God, the only true God, the God of all true Christians, those who've been saved by the blood, he delivers us always unto death so that we can stay in the hiding place. You come out of that hiding place, my friend. Men are waiting for you at every beck and turn. Men are waiting for you. Men who are licensed and ordained. Men of renown who have big name. They're waiting for you. They're on every corner. They're crying out to those who don't know the way of the cross to either keep them bound or to get their feet moved away like a frog in a boiling, slow simmering pot of hot water. He thinks he's okay. And the couple of degrees hotter, he thinks he's still okay because he's just relaxing more in that comfortable deception and deceit. And then let me say it again, something I mentioned earlier. You and I, if we're not careful, we'll be found with our senses being decreased, desensitized. That means our senses, our spiritual sense is being decreased instead of increased in the word of righteousness. That's Hebrews 5, 12 through 14. The only place you can be walking and growing out of the baby in carnal state and delivered from dull hearing to be able to rightly divide the word of truth and to be able to discern between what is really true evil and true good. And you and I need that more than almost anything, if not anything, today. So watch this now. Let's read it again, verse 5. For though I be absent in the flesh, I'm not with you there physically, but I am with you in the spirit, joying and beholding your order and the steadfastness, the ongoing, the constant, that which is constant, their faith in Christ. And see, our faith in Christ, and this is how we know that a lot of people, and I speak from my own past experience, a Christian will always say their faith is in Christ. But if it is actually, not was, but is, See, faith in Christ is an experiential thing because faith is a verb. It's an action word, and faith without works is dead. Get that now. James 2:20, faith without works is dead. And faith works. Faith works. So we need to remember these things. Watch this now. If faith is truly now in Christ, I'm going to be experiencing what it means to be rooted and built up in Christ and established in the faith. See, the faith is faith in Christ. That's the faith. The faith is the faith that's in Christ. The faith that's offered us of God cannot be found outside of in Christ. It can't be found anywhere else. It's only offered to us, get this now, it's only offered to us through Christ and what He did by grace through faith on the cross. He tasted death by the grace of God for all men, that we might be saved by grace through faith, and that not of ourselves, because it's the gift of God, not of works, lest we should boast like we had something to offer in the process. It's a gift of God. The grace and the faith is a gift of God. It's the faith. Faith, listen to this now, it's very simple for those who have a heart to learn the truth. Faith in Christ, verse 5, is the faith mentioned in verse 7. Established in the faith is the faith that's in Christ. Get that now. And the Word of God in Isaiah chapter 54, verse 14, tells us that God establishes His people. He shall establish His people in righteousness. But here it says established in the faith. So how do we rightly divide these scriptures? Are we established by God in righteousness? Or are we established by God in the faith? Well, they're one and the same thing and can never be separated, because faith only flows out of Christ. He did the work of righteousness, did He not? Isaiah 32 and 17. The work of righteousness is peace. Colossians 1:20 says He made our peace by the blood of His cross. So the work of righteousness is Christ, the righteous one, who did the work of righteousness and declared it from His cross through faith in His blood, Romans 3:25 and 26, and only offers it through His sacrifice, 2 Corinthians 5 and 21. Get this now. And I hope I said that right, Romans 3:25 and 26 and 2 Corinthians 5 and 21. So what He was doing, how He was actually carrying out the work of righteousness, was by grace through faith. Get that? Because any faith that's biblical faith is the righteousness of faith. Never forget that. If Bible faith, what we're calling Bible faith, is not producing the fruits of our righteousness in Christ, that which is that which has the appearance of Christ and His victory afforded us at Calvary, then it's not Bible faith. Bible faith is not an imagination. Matter of fact, the imagination will work against faith, because we'll imagine something and try to attach faith to it, and the imagination can only produce pictures that are not real. They're not real. They're not real. How do I know? Because we can all have different imagination. What I mean by not being real, I don't mean that they're not really an imagination. They are real. You're seeing something in your head, but you can never apply the faith that's in Christ to an imagination. That's why the Bible calls them vain imaginations, and the Bible says they must be cast down, and every thought brought into the captivity of Christ's obedience. Hallelujah. See how simple and beautiful that is, my friends. And it is simple and it is beautiful. And I said in the last session, the deeper we go in this well of salvation, the more we will be able to see rightly properly the simplicity that's in Christ, the exclusivity of all things pertaining to God being in the simplicity of Jesus Christ. Hallelujah. Anything that's hard to understand is not of God. He gives His revelation to children. Children, hallelujah. Glory be to God. All these deep-minded, so-called theological scholars who think that they're at a level where God's called them to reach other theological and scholars, that's not how God functions. God calls stinky, old, dirty, not very smart fishermen to go reach the intellectuals so that they won't be glorying in what they have and what they can do and all this kind of men's puffed up flesh. God uses donkeys to speak to men. God uses little old bitty nobodies to reach the ones who think they're somebody. And we need to remember these things, because everything outside of that ain't nothing but philosophy and vain, deceitful words that cause us to have vain imaginations. Amen. So, rooted and built up in Him and established in the faith. Are you and I, are we being established in the faith? If we are, then we're being established in righteousness. They're one and the same thing. Let's talk about it a little longer because it's so wonderful. Anything that's biblical faith, its fruit, no matter what we see it written as in the Word, sometimes specifically, the fruit of the Spirit, love, joy, peace, gentleness, goodness, meekness, long-suffering, faith. The fruits of the Spirit cannot be separated from the fruit of righteousness, or they cannot be separated from the expression of Christ by His Spirit. You cannot separate these things. It's just like you cannot separate being established in righteousness from being established in the faith. That's why God always delivers us who are alive unto death for Jesus' sake, so that we can be established in the very thing that He's working in us, which is death, the very death that made us servants of righteousness, so that we can be found serving obedience that's unto righteousness. That's why He's not delivering us anywhere. He's not delivering us to the purpose-driven life. That's men's vain philosophy and deceitful mindset trying to plunder and steal from us. They don't know they're doing it. I was there. I cried tears with people who walked up the aisle because I could see they were so in so much pain and bondage and chains from being bound in this old world of sin. I cried with them. I longed for their deliverance. I was the one that needed deliverance my own self. While I was praying with them, telling them that if you'll just come to church every time the doors are open and you'll give God the tithes and the offerings and you'll study the Word of God and you'll do this and you'll do that and you'll just, man, you need to start doing a lot of stuff instead of telling them what Jesus had already done, finished, and perfected, then I was just digging a deeper hole in the place of death they were already experiencing. I was helping bury them in the grave they were digging for their own lives here in their experience as children of God. But we need to be hearing this today. We need to be hearing this greatly. And the church needs to be hearing this. But I can promise you, they're not going to like it. You're going to stand pretty much alone. But don't worry. Don't worry. You're alive. You're a fish that's alive swimming upstream. Yeah, the majority of the fish are going downstream because they're just floating in a dead state. They're like the church can become very dead. Even though they're alive in Christ, if they don't learn what's in this chapter, how to walk in Christ by the same faith that put them in Christ, the same heart yielded to the gospel that gave them their position in Christ, if they don't learn to keep their faith anchored in Christ, then they can't walk in Christ. And that's where we allow all these deceitful and vain things to come into the church with the tag on them. God's going to use these things to teach us how to live for Him, how to get victory, and how to do all these things. It's just not going to happen, my friend. It's not going to happen. It cannot happen. Because if God used something other than what His Son did at Calvary to save or to deliver or offer you anything through any other avenue, He would be stepping outside of the order that makes Him God. His unchanging presence. He says, I'm God and I don't change. And He's not changing His way to suit us in our lustful flesh. And I'm not going the way of the cross. That's good for them. Well, I'm glad to hear God's using the cross for y'all over there. But over here, He's using the baptism with the Holy Spirit. No, He's not. No, He's not. He's not using the baptism with the Holy Spirit for deliverance from sin, for sanctified living. He's not using it for any of that. It has its purpose, but that ain't it. And when we're trusting in that, for that, then we remain in that deceitful dead. Even though we have a name, oh, hallelujah, that we're alive, we become functionally dead in God's eyes. If we're not accepting where our God is always delivering us, and it ain't Pentecost, my friend, it's the death of Jesus, then we're not going to be able to walk in Him. I'm not walking in Christ Jesus because I read Colossians 2:6 and say I agree with it. My heart has to agree with it, submit to it, surrender to it, believe it, and then my feet can walk in it. And when my feet are walking in the truth of Christ and Him crucified by faith, then my mouth is going to speak it also. That is the spirit of faith that the Bible speaks of, 2 Corinthians 4:13. Never forget that. Whatever your feet are walking in, that's what your mouth is going to be proclaiming. And God's raising up a people in the church in this last hour to recognize these deceitful, delusional things that keep the church in its state of mental disorder, mental confusion, instability, just not sure. You know what? The only thing that'll make you sure is what God did to make you sure. And that's by giving you the blessed assurance that's found through your faith being in Christ. Hallelujah. Watch this now. Rooted speaks of being dead and buried with. Rooted. Let's go back to Romans chapter 6 for a minute and see if I can find something. By the way, Andrew and I are going to begin to teach Romans 6, May the 1st. It's on a Wednesday night. Don't know how long it'll take, but we're going to share the platform beginning May 1st on Wednesday nights, and we're going to begin to teach Romans chapter 6 again because of the cruciality and the importance of the great truth that's here hidden for those who are hungry. But let's see here. Is it in verse 5? I believe it is, of Romans 6. For if we have been planted together, and the word planted there means united together, in the likeness of His death, and He as the seed of woman was planted in death, the Bible says, that like as Christ was raised from the dead. No, here we are. For if we have been planted together in the likeness of His death, we shall be also in the likeness of His resurrection. So planted together, if you look that up, it means closely united to. In the death of Jesus is where we became united with Him. That's why we're told we have to walk in Christ the same way we received Christ, Colossians 2 and 6. Because we became united with Him in His death, but we can only walk united with Him if our faith remains in His death. And again, that's why God's not delivering anybody over to the burial, over to the resurrection. He's delivering us over always, every moment of your existence as a child of God on this earth, he's delivering us over, who are alive, us Christians, to the death of Jesus, so that we can continue our walk and our unity with him, in him, which really is what it really all boils down to be able to abide in Christ. Continue in him as we began in him. Don't forget that. These are important things to know. They're crucial. They're very important. That most, I'd say 90-something percent of the church, they don't know this. They don't know these things. That's why they can sit and watch just sinfully wicked things in a church or hear vain, deceitful words. Listen to me. A church can sit, and they do it every week, week after week after week. Congregations by the thousands sit and hear vain and repetitious, just vain, empty words, and be able to leave the service and say, that was the most awesome thing I've ever heard, the most awesome service I've ever been in. And God says, how can this be among my people? How can this be where that was the most awesome service, the greatest word they've ever heard, and the cross was not even in any part of it? How can that be? That's the question God's asking. How can that be? So watch this now. It's beautiful here in Colossians chapter 2. Rooted only with Christ, your faith in his death. That's where you begin to be rooted. That's where the root takes off. The seed, get this, now the beauty of this, the seed of the woman, promised from Genesis 3:15, the seed of the woman that would crush the devil's head and the devil would bruise his heel, which was the story of what happened on the cross, Jesus taking the power of the authority of death away from the devil, Hebrews 2:14, in his death, and him being bruised by the enemy for our sins and iniquities. And the seed of the woman being put to death, planted in death, is where we find our place of being in unity with our Savior. And again, that's why he always delivers us to the place where we're delivered from everything and anything, and righteousness and holiness can be the fruit of our lives. Hallelujah. Glory be to God. Not talking about how long your sleeves are, or if you've got makeup on or you don't have makeup on, or whether you got a TV in your house or you don't. We're talking about the fruit of your faith being in Christ, and that always, always is going to have the expression of you being rooted with him and built up in him and established in the faith. Think about that. The word established, get the beauty of this. It means to be stable, stability. Get that. It means to be stable and stability. Christians running around in oppression, depression, they're not stable because they're not allowing God to establish them in the faith. We're not to be established in denominational rules. We're not to be established in fads and procedures. We're to be established only in the faith, only in the righteousness of the faith. Get that. Why do I say it like that? Again, because Isaiah 54:14, God shall establish you in righteousness, and oppression shall be far from you, because you shall not fear, and torment shall not come near you. You need to write that scripture down, my friends, Isaiah 54:14. And if he is allowed, because he's got to have your faith in Christ to be able to do that. And that don't come because we say our faith is in Christ. That comes because our hearts are yielded to the truth of Christ and him crucified. And when it is, then we're going to find ourselves being built up, get this now, and established in the faith as we have been taught, abounding therein. Abounding therein. Listen, abounding in that with thanksgiving. With thanksgiving. We're thankful that Jesus died for us. We're thankful that he represented us so well at Calvary. That's what he came to do as the last Adam, that we died with him. We're buried with him and raised to newness of life. Hallelujah, with him. Glory be to God. So this is a powerful truth that is here, that focus has to be the Lamb of God at all times, no matter what else may be being taught in the Word, whether it's the rapture, the second coming. It doesn't matter if it's our beginnings or the kingdom age coming. It makes no difference if it's marriage or raising our children in the admonition of the Lord. It makes no difference what it is. To use the Word of God means Christ has got to be involved, because we can do how much without Him? Nothing. And the only way He's involved is if our faith is in Him, meaning in His death. Hallelujah to the Lamb. Glory be to God. And this is so important. That's why on both sides of these scriptures mentioned here, there's a warning. There's a warning. Now, most are not going to heed this, but there will be a few. How do I know? Because I'd be one of them that have. I'd be one of them that have. And I've got to say this today, my friends, that wherever we take a stand for the cross, the chances that we'll keep standing in this determined place to know nothing but Christ and Him crucified, it's a rare thing. Many have stood there to be moved away through vain words, philosophy, making excuses why we don't have to preach the cross all the time. Making excuses. To me, that's as bad as a pole and a man dancing on it in church without a shirt. I said, to me, that's as bad as a man dancing on a pole without a shirt in church. Who'd ever thought we'd even hear such a thing? Well, who would ever thought that we'd have to sit and listen to the Word of God outside of the context of the Son of God and what He accomplished for us as the Lamb of God? God is raising up a people, and you want to be a part of that last day remnant who refuses to allow its garment to be spotted because it's trusting in anything other than the Son of God and what He did at Calvary. We won't be found learning God's Word outside of this context. We will not be found hearing anything about the Word of God outside of that which edifies Christ and glorifies our Heavenly Father, as He shows us the covenant and watches the fruit of the covenant taking place through His work of death in us. Hallelujah. Glory be to God. What a great session. It always goes by so fast. An hour's come and gone already. And I'm thankful to have shared it with you on this very special day. It's a special day when you can gather around God's holy word with God's holy people to hear the truths and to learn the truths that are written there for us. They're hidden there, not from us, but for us. And I'm thankful for all the hungry soldiers of the cross who God is raising up, even more so by the day. I'm praying for that to be the case and to see it with my own eyes, to hear about it with my own ears. Glory be to God. I pray the Lord's touch be upon you right now. Right now, at the hearing of the great power of the preaching of the cross, the power of God, that the power of God would rest upon you and touch your body, your soul, and your spirit. God sees everything that we have need of right now. Everything we have need of right now. Just ask Him for what it is. You say, why do I have to ask if He already sees it? Because He set it up that way so you could show Him you trust in Him, that your dependence is upon Him, and He will move on your behalf. Hallelujah. Glory to the Lamb. If the Lord stirs your heart to give an offering to Him, you can do that through this ministry, the ministry He's using to impart truth into your life. Into your life. You can do that at thecrosswaychurch.com, or you can simply text the word GIVE to the number 903-231-5950. Be a part of what God's doing in the earth today, among the people of God today. Be a part of what God's doing. Hallelujah. I'll see you next time. Until then, stay determined to know absolutely nothing but Christ and Him crucified. We'll see you then.